As a business leader, you know attracting top talent is just the beginning. Real growth happens when you lead yourself and others well. Creating a company culture that attracts, nurtures, and retains the best of all things. We'll teach you how to make an impact through a holistic leadership approach. Reframing success in leadership. This is the Talent Magnet Institute podcast with your host, Mike Sipple Jr.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We are very excited to be in the studio with Florence Malone, Outreach and Enrollment Manager, and Shiloh Turner, Executive Director of the Cincinnati Preschool Promise. Our firm is so invested in early childhood education, understanding the importance of accessibility for families, for children, helping elevate the importance of quality preschool, and ultimately the goal of increasing impact for the families and children that it serves, as well as our community, and how employers need to lean into this conversation. So we are so excited to have both of you in the studio today. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your leadership in our community.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So could we share, let's start by, you know, hopefully individuals that are in Cincinnati have read about and heard about the Cincinnati Preschool Promise. The listeners that are around the world, there's so many communities that are also focusing on this body of work for early childhood education and accessibility to a community. Could you share a little bit for those who have only read at a glance or only heard about, what is the Preschool Promise and why is it so important to our community?
Sure. I'll start, and I'm happy to have Florence add her perspective because she always has such an awesome perspective to bring. I really want to back up before I talk about what the Preschool Promise is and say here in Cincinnati, the value of quality early childhood education has been a value of our communities for over a decade, more like 15 years or so, and really elevating the importance of early brain development and how that can set a child up for success in school and ultimately life. So over time, our community really built the knowledge base, if you will, of the value of this, which ultimately culminated in the passage of Issue 44, which was a Cincinnati Public Schools levy, a portion of those funds which support the expansion of quality preschool to 3- and 4-year-olds in the Cincinnati Public School footprint by providing access to quality providers. And by the term quality, we define that as 3-, 4-, or 5-star quality. By supporting tuition assistance. And then we also, for those providers that perhaps are not a 3-, 4-, or 5-star provider yet, we provide quality improvement supports such as coaching or curricula to help them step up to quality so that we can have even more quality seats accessible for our 3- and 4-year-olds.
That's wonderful.
So for me, I think the importance of the work is helping to set a strong foundation for our children. As Shiloh said, we know brain development starts very early in the cycle of a child's life. Preschool, we just came from a program where, you know, I just kind of want to emphasize that as we get our children prepared to enter the education world, it can be very scary for them, for as being these little itty babies that we've protected their whole life, and now all of a sudden we're sending them to this big building. So preschool is kind of that starting point where we're getting them ready, we're teaching them what it's about. We're getting them used to how it functions and everything. We're helping them for us getting ready to go conquer the big education world.
Absolutely. Yeah, three and a half years ago, Success by Six, the effort was starting in Northern Kentucky. And our firm was asked to lean into that conversation. Myself having kids in the public education school system, me being a proud product of Covington Independent Schools, inner city school. And I went to preschool growing up. I thought everyone did until I showed up at our first committee meeting and heard all these statistics about, no, if and again, it's generational, right? So if you did, then of course your kids are going to. But what about those who don't, or those who want to keep their kids home because they'd rather have them at home with them versus in a big building somewhere else? Can you share a little bit about that barrier of understanding and communication with families, when you're sitting down with a family or in a community, how do you get people to take that first step? What does that look like?
Well, I think the key step is to finding out what is the barrier. There are a lot of different things going on with parents in today's world that involve more than just preschool. So it's kind of one of those things that you have to help educate the parents, and you have to meet the parents where they're at to kind of find out what are their thoughts around preschool, because it may not be that important to them because maybe they didn't experience preschool, or maybe education is not a high focus on their view of life. So it's kind of like saying, like, well, where are you at in this big picture? And let me point this out to you. And there are different reasons when I meet with families. I sell, and I don't want to say sell, but I present the idea of preschool at different levels. Sometimes it's, hey, let's get the child involved in preschool so you as mom or dad can be able to go out and focus on doing something to help your life get together. Or sometimes it's, okay, let's think about where you're at and where do we want our child to be at. But then the next thing that we're working on and we're trying to emphasize is, what does quality preschool look like? Because we have a lot of children that are in preschool, but not necessarily quality preschool, because mom and dad or aunt and uncle or grandma, they don't have a concept of what quality means. And that's a different set of education that we have to start instilling in parents. What should you be looking for when you talk about quality?
I would assume that's a significant effort of this work, is just raising awareness on the importance of. I know we've done door-to-door campaigns. I know that Cincinnati Preschool Promise has done door-to-door campaigns. Pre-K Works has done neighborhood door-to-door campaigns, just to raise up the body of work and the importance of preschool education.
Yeah, I would say that's especially important leading up to the passage of the levy, and then certainly in year one of the initiative, because I think a lot of people are just now learning about it, and we want to make sure there aren't misconceptions. So we're getting out in the community in a number of ways. We are attending festivals, events, parades, just to have that awareness.
And then preschool graduations.
Preschool graduations. We did that earlier this morning. It was wonderful, inspirational. It's just amazing to see those little kids. They're just thriving, and you just know they're teed up to succeed in kindergarten and beyond. So I think it's really important to get out there in the community. We're also doing, you know, media, and we have paid media so that others kind of know how to engage with us and how to enroll and that sort of thing. But I think as we go, as this becomes not such a new initiative anymore, people will begin to get it. But we don't ever want to make that assumption that people understand what we do and the importance of preschool. We want to make sure that we demonstrate by doing.
So let's talk a little bit about the brain development component, both on the, you know, I think many people may think of that as just pure academic intelligence, but we know it's much more than that, right? What are the other aspects of brain development that, you know, why would I send my kid to preschool, or why should I encourage my employees? Why should I make this a campaign inside my own organization to encourage people to send their kids for early childhood education?
Sure. So some may not know this, but 90% of a child's brain is developed by the age of 5. So you're connecting synapses from the moment, and honestly pre-birth, but certainly from the moment you're born. Language skills start to develop. Being able to relate with others starts to develop. Understanding and processing colors, numbers, shapes, all of those things. Florence and I were talking just the other day about the phenomenon of, by the age of 3, there's a 30 million word gap between children from the wealthiest families versus those from less fortunate families.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that comes from exposure. So that they have exposure to language. You know, I know when I have an 8 and a 12-year-old now, but when they were little ones and they were in the grocery cart, I would just talk about what we were seeing as we were walking down the aisle, mm-hmm. you know, telling them. And that's how they end up learning new words and understanding concepts and then being able to knit words together to form ideas and sentences.
But the other thing, too, and not really so much on the brain development, but let's talk about the social and emotional well-being of the child. Shiloh and I, we were just talking about the people that we're creating in today's world. And I like to look at preschool as saying, like, the children are being able to connect socially and emotionally, because in today's world, we do have people that cannot connect. And it's all about exposure, far as the quality teachers they're meeting, interacting with the other students, all that goes along with it. And it starts in preschool.
Yeah, one of the areas, and we talk about a lot with employment gaps and workforce pipeline, and you cannot start early enough in developing our future workforce and future citizens that are contributing to the community.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think of preschool, of quality preschool, as a workforce development issue. We're not only meeting the demands of the adults who need quality childcare for their children so they can go be productive in the workforce, but we're also training up that next generation in our workforce so that we are prepared and competitive. It's a really powerful tool.
Absolutely. Can you share a little bit about progress? So we've passed the year mark. What's the progress been so far and the successes we can celebrate with our listeners
today? Yeah, so I'm blown away. I'm 3 months into this role, so I take credit for none of this. Florence and others in the team really achieved this work. But I will say that in year one, we were very much like a startup. We simply didn't have the staffing infrastructure until, you know, the levy passed and we had to build it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the early progress, quite frankly, was constituting the board, hiring staff, establishing the enrollment process, creating policies and procedures, establishing our 501c3 status.
Yes, yes.
Like, that sounds like, oh, well, of course, but it's no small feat. That is a heavy lift. So that was some of the operational things that occurred in year one. And then from the programmatic standpoint, we have helped over 1,300 students in year one by receiving tuition assistance. That is, you know, again, I take no credit for that, but wow, Florence, amazing job.
I'm very excited. I'm sitting over here giddy about it, which is something, because as I do work, sometimes I'm kind of like, but at the same time, I'm so excited, and I'm even more excited about the potential number that we have this upcoming year, just reaching out to the families as people learn more about the program, as we use different venues to market the program. You know, every day the number is growing. Last year, we didn't have any number. We didn't have a base. This year already, as re-enrollment starts, we have a total of about 200-something kids already signed up to attend preschool starting August the 20th. So that's exciting for me.
Absolutely. And I also think it's really cool that we've really begun to develop a robust system. So Cincinnati Public Schools provides quality preschool in their own setting, and then we work with a number of providers in the community, both community centers as well as family child care providers. All told, in year one, again, we were working with 82 providers that are receiving tuition assistance, and then another 25 providers are in our quality improvement process, with many more, at least double that, lined up in the pipeline. So just the potential for expanding the quality seats along with the growth of the tuition assistance support, it's really cool.
And I think the other thing that's important, especially in our partnership with CPS, which also I'm always excited about, because what that means for parents is that they have choices. Families should have choice. So now they can look at the big picture and say, okay, what choice works best for me and my child? And that's important for them, because when they feel as though they have a choice, they're more likely to make a choice. If you feel as though you're being pushed into something, most likely you won't react. But now when we talk to our parents, we can say, what will work best for you and your child? And based on that, we've got some terrific results.
I love hearing the stories that Florence says, what she talks with a mom or a dad and says, you know, what do you think your child needs? And that she then connects them to, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 different centers. She says, let's bring your child there. Let's have them experience this environment.
And I do. I put them in my car and you know, we go around and we look at the different preschools and I take their children in. I go down and I check on their children as well, because sometimes parents are nervous and they say, you know, I dropped her off and she cried today. I didn't want to leave her. And I tell them, I said, don't worry about it. I'm going back to check on her. And it takes a lot, but this work takes a lot. But at the same time, every child that gets a preschool seat, it's worth it. Every time I see a child and I hear another child is going to preschool, it's worth it.
Absolutely. I hope the listeners today, from an employment standpoint, there's such an opportunity. You have employees that either have their children or you have employees that have their grandchildren. that need to be aware of the accessibility options that Cincinnati Preschool Promise provides. Where can individuals go to learn more about early childhood education as well as your program?
So I would give you some national references, and then I'll let Florence talk about the local process for Cincinnati Preschool Promise. But we really, there's a robust literature on the value in quality preschool. Some sources that I point people toward are Ready Nation, which is www.strongnation.org/ReadyNation. And they provide a lot of the business case for quality early care and child care and education. Child Trends is another. It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan research center. So that can talk, that can speak to a lot of the early brain development research that is out there. And that's childtrends.org. And then Ounce of Prevention, which is an organization based out of Chicago, but nationally recognized. It's a think tank on research, best practice programming, and advocacy. And that's www.theounce.org. And then the final resource I'll give you is the National Association for the Education of Young Children, or NAECY. And that's just NAECY.org. And they have resources for parents, for providers. They have advocacy resources and a lot of publications themselves. So that's just a handful of resources out there, but those are some of the go-to organizations if you really want to learn more. And then Preschool Promise.
Yes, Preschool Promise is just www.cincinnatipreschoolpromise.org. Or anywhere you see me at, you can stop me and ask me a question about Preschool Promise, and I'm more than happy to talk about the program.
Yeah. I think this is something where employers should be providing in their employee communications. Like, here's some great resources. Because it creates emotional stress even for the parents to think, you know, if my child's behind or now they're in second grade and they're still not reading at grade level, this is a way that an employer can take responsibility to help their employees, families be more successful, right?
So we do have a lot of partnerships that we've developed. Of course, Success by Six, Children's Hospital. There's a lot of different organizations that actually we're getting out in front of so they can have the information to give to their employees.
Can you share a little bit about, you referenced earlier, meeting families where they are? Can you walk through a little bit more, describe that, what that means, and unpack that for those listening?
Well, so I got a couple of stories, but the one that stands out, mom, her daughter was going to Little Lambs Child Care Center, and the mom was trying to get signed up for Preschool Promise, and mom just had a lot going on. I called mom. I signed her up in August. It took me to January to get the child signed up for the Preschool Promise program because mom had so many things going on. Every time I would try to get her to meet with me, she would say, Miss Flo, I can't do it right now. And I just kept texting mom on, you know, just saying, hey, good morning. You know, how about today? And how about today? And finally, I started getting creative. And I told her, I said, you know what? Take a picture of the birth certificate and send it to me. Email it to me through your phone. And that's how I was able to get all the documents in, you know. And so it came up when I finally did get to meet with the mom face to face. It was January and she was moving. Nobody moves in January unless they're going through something because it's cold. And we, Preschool Promise, was able to provide her with one of our care packages that we give to our providers. It had household things in it. And she was so appreciative because she said, I was wondering how I was going to get cleaning supplies from my home and everything and stuff. But the point of it is that I was able to see that that mom was going through something. And I didn't give up on her because I knew she still wanted her child to go to preschool because most people want to do the best thing for their child. They just don't always know how to do the best thing for their child. Sometimes, you know, parents, they don't have money for birth certificates. And sometimes when you say that to people, they're kind of like, what do you mean they don't have money for birth certificates? No, every child doesn't have a birth certificate. So we had to become creative and say, well, what other ways can we get the date of birth? So now we'll take WIC cards. We'll take a baptism certification. We'll take the shot record as long as it has the birthday on it. We'll take a medical card as long as it has the birthday. So that's what I mean about meeting families where they're at, trying to find out what's the most convenient way so we can kind contact our families, reach our families, and get them connected with preschool so we can make sure that the children get the foundation they need. And sometimes it's connecting them with other resources because, like I said, you know, sitting here around this table, preschool is important to all of us, and we're like, yeah, put your child in preschool. But sometimes for the parent, it's the low man on the totem pole because maybe they don't have Hamilton County vouchers, and they don't know they can get Hamilton County vouchers, or maybe they can't get Hamilton County vouchers, and they're thinking to themselves, if they won't give me a chance, then neither will preschool promise. So you have to help parents talk through their fears and their concerns.
You went around the value of preschool. What about the talk about the difference of people who want to keep their child at home versus the impact it can have having them in a preschool environment?
Well, that's a story in itself, too, because sometimes we have a lot of different factors right now where parents want to keep their children at home. I just got finished talking to a mom because she's scared that her child is going to get sick when she sends her to preschool. So, you know, that's a fear that we have to conquer. You have some parents that are kind of like it's a safety issue. Because there are certain things going on in today's world and they just feel more comfortable. And that's one of the reasons we like to get parents and take them to the different centers so they can go in and experience. Because I don't want to tell you what's a good center. I want you to decide what's a good center for you. And that's based on you going there, seeing your child interact, seeing your child talk to the teachers and everything, and the feeling that you get. But somebody has to take time out to do that with the parents.
And the difference in quality, we mentioned the 3, 4, and 5 stars, the importance of that in our community to help people understand that there is an accreditation process.
Yeah, there's a state accreditation process. So you can, as a child care provider, if you're licensed, you can have unrated 1-star, 2-star, and then 3, 4, 5. And the 3, 4, 5 is, in our particular instance, how we have defined quality. And there's a whole host of criteria that are along with that, including teacher-to-child ratios, curricula, the way that you engage in and interact with parents, a whole host of other, even physical space implications. So I think that what's critically important for me I reflect back to when my own kids were in preschool, and to some degree, as Florence, I think, has alluded to, you really don't understand the difference until you see it, until mm-hmm. you experience it, until you sit in the classroom of a quality center and you see, wow, this is making such a difference in this child's life on a daily basis.
So, and that's the other reason why we have the quality improvement program, because what I want to say is that we're not saying at Preschool Promise that if a center is no star, 1-star, 2-star, we're not saying that they're not quality. What we're saying is, let us work with you to get you to a better quality, because each parent defined quality is different. What may be quality to you and I may be very different. It may be far as the location to a mom, or it may be far as who she knows at that particular center. That's one of the reasons why we do have our quality improvement program. So centers who are not 3, 4, or 5-star can get involved in this, and then we can help them with the resources they need to become quality, because there is somewhat of a cost associated with becoming quality. And when I say a cost, not so much a cost for us paying for step up the quality, but there are certain criteria. TS Goals, which is a system that they use to kind of do evaluation on children, DECAs and things of that nature. There are requirements for us saying the teachers have to have certain degrees and stuff like that. So
Are there particular states, cities that we're learning from here, that are a couple, you know, that have been doing this a couple years longer,
sure,
that you're using as best practices? And are there trends that you're watching, innovations that you're watching that we're trying to bring here to this community?
Yes. Well, there's definitely an overarching trend nationwide that people really do get that quality preschool matters. What's interesting is that I think local areas or regional areas are sick of waiting for the federal government to act on this, or even in most cases, even the state, quite frankly. So in more than a handful of instances, communities like Cincinnati took it into their own hands locally and said, we want this for our community, and we're going to make it happen, and we're going to finance it. Other communities, for example, Denver has been doing the Denver preschool program for over a decade now, so we certainly are watching what they've done and learning from both their successes and their missteps so that we can accelerate our own trajectory for success. Other communities, New York City, Philadelphia, Dayton, Cleveland. So even in Ohio, quite frankly, we've got some really positive momentum because Cincinnati's got something, Dayton's got something, Cleveland's got something, Columbus is working on going toward that. Other cities, Seattle, San Francisco. What's interesting to me is the commonality is the value of quality preschool and the difference that it makes. The how, in terms of how these communities have gotten it done, whether it's a property tax, such as the Cincinnati Preschool Promise, whether it's a sales tax, such as the instance in Denver, whether it's a food and beverage tax, I think that that's the way that Philadelphia funds their program. So, and it depends. I mean, and Mike, you would know in Northern Kentucky, the funding streams and opportunities are different than even in Ohio. And so you have to understand what works best for your community and quite frankly, get creative. Partnerships with other school districts, or it might be a city-driven initiative, it might be a county-driven initiative. But people are making it happen, and so you know it's important.
Yeah, the encouraging part that we've seen, even being asked to participate in some of this body of work because we're already volunteering and doing various things, was that people know people. So businesses, community leaders, and state legislators, there's relationships there. When we all get in a room, we know it's important, and we got to figure out how we're going to fund this thing, what model we're going to put together to increase quality and increase access to early childhood education.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you raise a really good point, which is in Cincinnati's case, we had a number of versions that we were thinking about before we actually settled on what ultimately went to the ballot and passed. And I would say that it really required a movement. It required all facets of the community to be supportive in whatever strengths and ways that they could. And it will continue to require all facets of the community to support this work in order for us to achieve ultimate success.
I was in a conversation with a teacher who's a friend, and he was doing, as a part of his thesis, his own research. So like I hear early, you know, his comment, I hear early childhood education is important and kindergarten readiness is critical to the success. And you should be able to see that start showing up in a big way in third grade. So he actually did his own research thesis on this topic to validate. And he said the results were staggering. Like, it is exactly what the national data shows. There's a big difference, and you can start compartmentalizing based on where people are. You can actually see trends where they are to what type of program they were in, either quality, staying home, private, public. And the, you know, the biggest takeaway was, you know, it was like as a teacher, as a, he's happens to be a third grade teacher, as a third grade teacher, I can, without knowing the individual's history, the student's history, I can see whether they did or did not. And that's going to, we're going to be chasing it if they didn't, and we'll be ahead if they did.
And so just think about the foundation that's setting, because I can just remember third grade, and, you know, if there's something you don't know in third grade, if all the other kids know it around you, you kind of go in a corner versus saying like, hey, I don't know this, because you don't want the other children laughing at you because you don't know what it is you're supposed to know. So I think, once again, that's one of the things why we want to get our children involved in quality preschool. In preschool in general, I mean, I'm not even concerned. I'm always concerned about quality, but I'm concerned just in general about parents getting their children involved with preschool, because there is a pocket of children that we don't have. We're trying to get, we're working very hard, but we don't have them in preschool yet. And those are the children in third grade that will go in a corner and will just kind of fly by in the system because there's things that they don't know and they didn't get. That's a concern.
Absolutely.
And I think you've probably heard the phrase before, but until third grade, you're learning to read. You're learning to read up to third grade. After third grade,
you're reading to learn. Yep.
So and if you're not able to read, you're not learning after that very well.
Yeah. The impact of social, emotional, and mental health when you have confidence, right? When you have, you feel comfortable to say, you know, I don't know that versus if I don't know that and someone else does, I'm not going to ask, right? So being very much in tune to that. But the data, it was one of those conversations that with this particular teacher, as a third grade teacher, all of the things, Mike, that Preschool Promise and that Pre-K Works is doing and that Denver's doing, it's so real. And I wish people could see what I experience as a third grade teacher. Such a powerful impact. So could you share a little bit about how the word partnerships, what has partnerships look like for the work of the Preschool Promise?
Well, I think some are very explicit, such as the partnership with Cincinnati Public Schools. We really work very closely with them in partnership. Coaching, so in the quality improvement space, we really rely heavily on entities such as Community Action Agency, 4C for Children, Santa Maria, others that are that's the line of work that they're in. They're the experts in that space. And so
CLC.
We can leverage them. And yeah, exactly. And also demonstrating what quality providers are out there that can provide example and mentoring for others. Mm-hmm. But we also have a lot of other agencies that address similar populations as us for other needs. So, for example, maybe Free Store Food Bank is meeting some food needs that the child and family might need. And there are others. I know Florence recently met with JFS, and they can really serve as a referral source for our services and program. And, I mean, partnerships ultimately really drive the work. We have a small but mighty staff, as I like to say.
We do.
But we really do leverage and borrow others' audiences and others' skills and areas of expertise in order to drive the work and be more successful.
And hopefully there are individuals who hear or think about, I wonder if they're partnering with this organization, or I'm on the board of that organization, or my daughter attends this program. And I think the encouragement would be to reach out,
absolutely,
right? And
yeah,
to see
definitely.
How can we as a community work together to make every area stronger that we're trying to touch with families
absolutely.
And children.
Absolutely. And I really don't want to restrict it just to the nonprofit space. They're very important partners of ours. But the business community, the faith community, you know, you want to think differently, that we're all, as a community, we all have a role to play in this.
And then the other thing, too, we don't want to assume that anybody or any organization knows exactly what it is that we're doing. So we love to have meetings to kind of inform people, because what I've learned doing this work is that one part of the organization may know, but then the other part of the organization may not have an idea, just because there's different bodies of work going on. Because that's even sometime in ours, even though we're a small team, I'm more or less outreach and enrollment, doing TA assistance. So sometimes I don't know what's going on with quality improvement. So we love to have open communication with other organizations to just kind of keep it flowing, to say, this is where we need you. We need you to be our voice, and we need you to kind of know what's going on and how you can help us.
Yeah, what I would encourage our listeners to do, if you have any interest at all in raising your hand and asking a question from listening to this today, message us, send us a message here at Centennial, contact the Cincinnati Preschool Promise, or use hashtag Talent Magnet. And maybe we even convene a group of people who say, you know what, I heard that. I'd love to sit down with 20 or 30 other people who say, I just want to learn more about this topic.
We would love to do that.
Yeah, so let's do that. So use hashtag Talent Magnet or message us directly. And we'd love to get a group of people together. Can you share a little bit about some of the inconsistencies or misunderstandings of this work that you bump up against a lot? Like, what's the preconceived thought that you have to educate people across quite often?
Well, I think because it's a new initiative, we, like Florence said, you don't want to assume people do understand about it. I think most frequently, people that do know about the Preschool Promise understand that it provides tuition assistance.
Right.
For their child or their children. What a lot of people, I think, are just now starting to realize and understand is the support that we provide on the quality improvement side of our work. And, I mean, even providers didn't realize that. We've come across some providers that are like, oh, we didn't know you did that.
Yes.
So just as we work through, and I'm sure that those inconsistencies or misunderstandings will differ depending on where we are. You know, we're at the end of year one, really, right now. So a lot of engagement out in the community to help people better understand. But even navigating the process, and I think we've learned a lot as a team in the first year. And I know that we've streamlined, Flo already alluded to some of the process changes and improvements that we've made, but we're continuously trying to make this as easy as we can for the providers that are participating and the families that are participating. So we're always open to suggestions for improvement. I don't know if you have any other ideas for inconsistencies or misunderstandings.
No, not really. Just because, like, as she said earlier, I started this in July. So I think the majority of them, it's not so much misunderstanding, just it's flat out people just don't know. And so I don't want to view that as a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. They know what they know. Sometimes people assume one of the things, the biggest thing is who is the program for, who actually can use the program. And you know you have to be within the city of Cincinnati, and the provider has to be within the city of Cincinnati. And as of now, we only go up to 200% of the poverty rate, but at the same time, we're working on it.
Yeah, we frequently around the office say we're biting that elephant one bite at a time.
And it's worth it. So getting
Absolutely.
The right people to make the right calls and the right influence. So one, I want to congratulate the 1,300 plus families that have been impacted by this work.
Yeah.
So shout out to all of you and congratulations on taking a major step for your children and your families. And here's to the next 1,500, 2,500 families that will lean into this work. Thank you both for your leadership. Thank your team as well, for those listening that are on the team. Thank you for all you're doing. You clearly have a passion for helping people.
Well, thank you for having us here today and letting us tell the story of Cincinnati Preschool Promise.
Absolutely.
Yes,
thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you to our listeners. We hope this was encouraging, educational, and look forward to receiving your feedback and follow up on interest for the Cincinnati Preschool Promise. And thank you for joining us here at the Talent Magnet Institute podcast.
Do you want to make sure you're getting the most out of your current and your prospective talent? Go to talentmagnetinstitutepodcast.com/talent and find out the 10 questions you should be asking yourself to stay ahead of the game.
The Talent Magnet Institute podcast is made possible by Janelle Spence and Christine Lewis of Centennial, Josh Chappelle and Adam Smith of Sound Press, produced by Chris Medine of New Fidelity Studios and Audra Casino and Megan Doherty of One Stone Creative. Music written by DJ Corbett and Chris Medine. And myself, your host, Mike Sipple Jr. We are recorded in Greater Cincinnati, Ohio. We're supported by our listeners from all around the world. The Talent Magnet Institute podcast is part of the Talent Magnet Institute and Centennial. You can reach me on Twitter or LinkedIn at Mike Sipple Jr. Find us in your favorite podcast app, or you can visit us online at talentmagnetinstitutepodcast.com to subscribe, leave a review, and share with a colleague. Thank you for joining us on the journey of developing leaders to succeed in relationships, work, community, and life, reframing success in leadership.